Welcome to WISO Weekend, WISO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. On today's program, more from the Antioch Writers' Workshop. This week, we'll hear from Jim Daniels. Emily McCord sits down with Jonathan Gallien, a member of Occupy Dayton. And Dayton resident Jay Tieber will tell us all about the Ohio Liberty Film Festival. Those stories and more coming up on WISO Weekend, up first. On Saturday, November 12th, Kettering Fairmont High will host the 4th Annual Acapella Festival. These events are springing up around the country, but Fairmont believes they are blazing the trail. Brody McDonald is the choir director, a job he's held for 13 years. That job has its challenges.
The biggest thing is making sure everybody's in the right place, because kids have all different ability levels, different backgrounds. So we're very happy about having two entry-level choruses, the men's chorus and the women's chorus. Those are what we call y'all come choirs. Any kid in the high school can do that. Then we have an audition chamber choir that's guys and girls. And then the after-school groups are really select, eight in 11th hour, and then there's 16 kids in fusion. So somewhere in there, there's a place for everybody to sing.
And McDonald says the Fairmont music program is not only accessible for kids, but it allows for the individual experience.
Music is different for every kid. We have a wide variety, just pleasure singers, people who are eventually going to become music teachers, some who want to go into music performance. And we have kids who are actually interested in the production side of the industry as far as recording technology or managing groups. So thankfully, again, there's a place for everybody here at Fairmont, and they all get an experience. They all get education in whatever they want to do.
Kettering's a cappella festival began 4 years ago. Brody says it's grown from 5 groups then to 25 groups from 4 states. Fairmont celebrated 11th hour, and Sonos will perform. Both groups have been featured on WYSO.
All right, guys, this is Jerry. Say hi.
Hi.
This is Fusion.
Fusion is also one of the Fairmont groups that will be performing at this year's festival. At a practice session this week, they run through a mic check with the assistant director of choirs, Alex Fan.
Next.
'Cause when you were here, I had no idea that you're the best thing I never knew I needed.
Alex also teaches the women's chorus at Fairmont and music at Kettering Middle School. Just as the festival has progressed, Alex says Fusion has come a long way in the 4 years he's been teaching here.
The first year I got here, I was told that this group did about 3 numbers a year. Now we're at the beginning of our season, we've got about 8 or 9, and by the end of the year, we'll probably have between 16 and 20. So these guys lead a rigorous schedule and learn a variety of genres, hip-hop, pop, blues, R&B, rock, the whole gamut.
Fusion is a fusion of 16 voices. The kids gather around a piano on stage in the Fairmont Auditorium. They're having fun while listening to what their teacher has to say.
Every build, every time you get to this, we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You've got to start that build. So 1, 2.
This is something they ramp up from the beginning of the year on. So they're ready for it from the start, from the get-go. So tons of energy.
Anna Crabill is a senior at Fairmont. She joined Fusion as a freshman. Here's how she feels about music.
Makes me completely happy. Like, it's what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I'm going into music when I go to college. It's, you know, basically my life. It's everything that my life is. It's been surrounding my life since I was born, and it's just, like, my core. This is actually my first big solo that I've had while being in the group, and I just love the song completely. It shows off the voice that I've kind of like had deep inside of me for the longest time, and now I'm finally like letting out this huge voice, and everyone in the group is just like, where did that come from? Like, we've never even heard you sing like that before. So it's really great to be able to like show that out, and I cannot wait to perform it at the Acapella Festival for the first time, debuting it.
You make me feel like I'm natural.
Young man.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Just fantastic.
The young man is Sam Bodery. He's a junior. So you have an unusual talent?
Yeah, I guess so. Just kind of making drum noises with my mouth.
And when did that start?
Probably started like eighth grade. My sister went to school here, and I came because she was in the music program, and I saw one of the other groups, and I saw one of these kids kind of doing this. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I want to do that. So like at the beginning, it was just a lot of really, really bad noises and just really embarrassing, just like alone in my room, just like, and just really horrible. But like, I mean, it's not particularly useful in anything other than this, but it's cool that I can like be here and be with friends and do this. It's really cool.
Okay, beat.
What's also cool is the excitement and enthusiasm these kids bring to the stage. Multiply that by 400 plus students who will raise their voices in song, and it adds up to a high energy weekend for Kettering Fairmont High's a cappella festival on November 12th.
I'm out the door, I'm gonna hit this city. Before I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of what? 'Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back.
This is WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. Thanks for making us a part of your Sunday morning. Jay Tiber has been a Dayton resident for 30 years. He's co-owner of the Dublin Pub, and it's there that I caught up with him to talk about the Ohio Liberty Film Festival taking place November 10th through the 13th. First, we talk about Jay's inspiration for a Liberty Film Festival.
Well, actually, this is the third year that I've done the festival in 2009, 2010, and now this year. And it just was an idea that came into my mind, and because I really enjoy movies. Then there's the idea of liberty, and it just came to me that was a theme. I thought the idea of liberty is a concept that deserved to be celebrated, and it's terrifically important to me, and I called it the Ohio Liberty Film Festival. I'm thinking someday of making it the American Liberty Film Festival, but we'll see about that.
Tell me a little bit about how ideas of liberty were instilled in you.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, it's a concept that's terrifically important. All of our the founding documents of this country all mention liberty. It's one of the key concepts as to how America got started. And I frankly believe that liberty is one of the aspects of American life and culture that has led to our success and our prosperity relative to other places. The fact that we have this freedom. We talk about other things. Certainly, you know, we all want to be at peace. I'm ex-Air Force, and we all appreciated times when we were at peace. I have some concern in my mind that if you do not have liberty, if you are being controlled by someone, then you don't really have peace. And I think it's a concept that deserves to be celebrated and nurtured and kept in mind. And when you tell stories about liberty, sometimes they become very uplifting and very inspirational. And that's something that I seek to get to in my movies that I show.
movies can be a powerful medium for transmitting ideals. So let's talk about this year's event. And again, it's November 10th through the 13th, and it's at a variety of venues, correct?
Yes, it is. But and you you mentioned, and I didn't really hit on that before, but movies are a very powerful way of getting ideas across. I think it's a visible thing. The storyline, if the story's presented well, it can be just terrifically powerful and has an emotional impact. Particularly a good story, good acting, and another thing that that I really enjoy is the music that goes with the movies. And so many times, you know, the soundtracks, of course, they're celebrated. They give Academy Awards. But people don't really necessarily equate the music. But I think that has that's a great part of the emotional impact of a film is the music. This year, I'm departing a little bit. The film festival in the previous 2 years was something that I did independently. This year I hooked up with some people, the AAA office and the American Veterans Institute, which is a national organization, and they wanted to create an event called Operation Welcome Home, which is a tribute to veterans in general and Vietnam veterans in particular. The idea being, as they have expressed it, that Vietnam veterans were not accorded the respect that maybe happened has happened since then. So it's an attempt to show some gratitude for that. My Liberty Film Festival, by the way, is something that I had scheduled to take place around Veterans Day because I want to show the connection between the contributions made by veterans in having to go to war and preserving our freedom, and the freedom of other places that we have fought for, too. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the films that you're bringing as part of the festival this year. You've got a variety of films to offer.
Yeah, right. Well, because I'm connected with the Operation Welcome Home, I needed to show some films that have to do with the Vietnam experience. And the two in particular that I picked are We Were Soldiers, which is about one of the early battles in the Aya Drang Valley of Vietnam. It's a good movie. It's got some pretty graphic footage in there. And that movie, and then Good Morning Vietnam is kind of a little bit lighter movie, but it's actually a showcase for Robin Williams. His performance is amazing in that movie. I did want to show a couple movies that, to me, are a little more of the art theater type. And there's a movie that I really enjoy. It's a Charlie Chaplin movie called The Great Dictator. And I'm showing that in an afternoon matinee. It's the first movie he directed. He plays two roles. He plays a dictator in the way of Adolf Hitler, and he plays a Jewish shopkeeper, so he plays both of those roles. And for some reason or other, the movie was somewhat controversial. He made it before we got into World War II. He was showing a little bit about his ideas about European fascism, and so it didn't really sit well with some people. Anyway, it's a classic, and I'm showing that. The other movie I'm showing, which is more of an art theater variety, is a German movie with English subtitles. It's a true story about a German soldier who was captured by the Russians because he was fighting on the Eastern Front. Now, the Russians didn't treat prisoners nicely, but it took him 7 years to get back across Siberia and Russia to get back to Germany. And it's a tremendous story of a person's perseverance, his desire for freedom, to get back to his family and his loved ones, and a young child he had never seen before. And the help that he got by some of the people along the way is also heartwarming. It's a nice movie. First movie is on Thursday the 10th. It's a matinee also at the Air Force Museum Theater called Air Force. It came out in 1943, and it's a black and white movie. It's one of the very first movies that was made about Army aviation in World War II. We're showing that in the Air Force Museum, and I thought I had to have something in keeping. And it's a good movie. It was highly rated. Although from this standpoint, it's interesting to see the dialogue and the way people talk about things and all that, and the way they talk about the Japanese who now are our friends. I'm finishing up the film festival on the Sunday the 13th, a matinee, the movie called Patton. And I really wanted to show something there that's kind of upbeat, something to kind of close it out and show how a general who was controversial, he was also very effective. And it was an Academy Award movie. It's a great movie. And George C. Scott plays Patton in a way that I don't know anybody else could do. And he does a great job of playing the role of Patton. And the acting is just tremendous, and it's also a good history lesson. So that's the movie that I picked to finish up the festival.
You've got a variety of films. You've got a variety of venues. The Stiver School for the Arts, also the Neon Theater, will be hosting the Charlie Chaplin film, and then you've got films at the Air Force Museum and more places as well. So where can listeners go to get information on the festival?
The website for the film festival is www.ohioLibertyFilmFestival.com. There is also a website for Operation Welcome Home, VietnamVeteransWelcomeHome.com, and there's also information about some of the other activities. By the way, I want to mention that in my 3 years with the film festival, I've never charged admission. I operate this through donations by people that are interested in film and interested in advancing the idea of liberty. And I want people to come to the movie, and I don't want anybody to worry about the cost if they can bring their family. And so I've never charged anything for these movies. And so I hope to be able to continue that.
Jay Tiber is organizer of the Ohio Liberty Film Festival. It takes place November 10th through November 13th. Again, you can get more information at OhioLibertyFilmFestival.com. Jay, thanks for spending time with us.
My pleasure. Looking forward to seeing a lot of people come to see the movies. Thank you.
Ideals of liberty and justice are on the minds of many Americans. Occupy Dayton is the local response to the national Occupy Wall Street movement. Emily McCord sat down with Jonathan Gallien. He describes the scene at Courthouse Square in Dayton, where the protesters have spent nearly a month.
Day to day, we have roughly, I would say, 5 to 10 people that are down there basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're either students that can work that around their class schedule. They are people in the area that are currently unemployed, or they are in another life situation where they are able to be down there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On Wednesdays, we have General Assembly meetings, which tend to be smaller. And then on Saturdays, we have our larger protest slash march, where we march through various neighborhoods and areas of the downtown Dayton area. And after that, we have a larger General Assembly meeting.
What's your relationship been like with most of the folks in the Dayton community? Are people supportive? Are there a lot of people that are antagonistic? I'm curious.
I would say that the majority of the people have been very supportive. When we're out there with our signs down on Main Street, which I think is an interesting contrast that we're on Main Street and what we're about anti-Wall Street, we get a lot of people that are honking at us and giving us thumbs up and stuff. The community at this point seems to be very, very supportive of what we are doing.
One critique that I've heard about Occupy Wall Street protests, not here in Dayton mm-hmm. just necessarily, but just around the country, is that there isn't a clear, concise message. What's the message that Occupy Dayton is trying to send out?
The most clear-cut way to put, I think, the message for Occupy Dayton, and without limiting the message of the other Occupy movements, is a million voters' opinions should matter more to the politicians than $1 million campaign contribution does. Politicians should be accountable to their constituents, not to their campaign financiers. That's the general point that the Dayton movement's trying to get across. And within that, there are obviously smaller portions of what we're doing that are directly influenced by the corporate dollar going into elections. And in local elections, it plays a role, but obviously in national elections, there's much more money from corporate sponsors coming into the campaign, into the candidates' pockets. And that is what we are addressing in the most immediate and particular sense. There are obviously various other things, effects of that, those things that fall under a larger umbrella, though.
So do you see your the Occupy Dayton movement as something that is responding to mostly a national issue, or does this also is this also a response to local issues?
It is a local issue because in Dayton there's a high unemployment rate. In Ohio in general, there's a high unemployment rate. And I think that the local effects of what's going on at a national level are being felt here, especially in addressing those local issues. We are basically saying this is a symptom of a much larger problem, and we can take care of this one symptom here, but unless we're willing to address the problem as a whole, the symptom may change, but there will still be a symptom of the larger problem taking place here locally.
I'm curious about the conditions down at the courthouse. It's going to be getting colder soon. Mm-hmm. How do you all organize this in a way that's safe for people?
At the moment, the camp is largely just tents that people would use while they are camping. However, we are actually in the process of winterizing our camp. We've actually have on our Facebook page in a note asked the general public, the I believe almost 3,500 people that are fans of our page, to, if they have any knowledge regarding winter camping, to give that information to us so that we can stay down there. And the response so far has been really good. We're also looking into getting military surplus tents, which are graded for between 0 and 120 degrees and can withstand winds of up to 90 miles per hour. And we actually have the financial donations that will allow us to buy these tents if we do, in fact, decide to do so at our General Assembly.
What about in terms of the safety on the streets?
The safety on the streets, we've had little to no issue with people wanting to disturb us or antagonize us really in any way. And yes, we do have, you know, the occasional people that will drive by and they will react antagonistically to our message, but we really haven't had anyone approach us from within the community that's looking to be aggressive towards the movement, it's towards the people that are down there themselves, or do physical harm to them. So I think in that sense, from the community as a whole, we have been very lucky.
And some other cities across Ohio have had some conflicts with the city officials, police. What is your relationship like with the city of Dayton?
We actually have an open dialogue with local law enforcement. And when it comes to Courthouse Square itself, Courthouse Square actually falls under the jurisdiction of Montgomery County as opposed to the city of Dayton. And we've kept an open dialogue with them as well. And we've been more than willing to address their concerns about our presence there and work with them to make sure that while we are able to do what we want to do and exercise our First Amendment rights, we are also making sure that we are not impeding on the day-to-day lives of the people in the city of Dayton while being there.
So what about the future of Occupy Dayton? How do you guys plan on having an actual presence at the courthouse for the foreseeable future?
We plan on having a presence down there for the foreseeable future, yes. As long as there is no major danger to the health and the safety of what the people that are staying down there, we plan on being down there for as long as we can be.
I've been speaking with Jonathan Gallion. He's with the Occupy Dayton movement. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us on WISO Weekend. Jim Daniels is best known as a poet, but has also written several short story collections and three films. Continuing our series of faculty readings from this summer's Antioch Writers Workshop, here's Daniels with several of his poems.
I'd like to read a couple short poems about my children, who are now teenagers, and so they don't talk to me much. But I remember certain things. And on a sabbatical once, we actually lived in France, and my son was 3 years old and went to the village preschool. So this is called Walking My Son Home from Preschool, Saint-Julien-de-Peyrouas, France. From the hilltop village, we circle down through dust, disappearing in the grapevines just budding green through gnarled wood. I hold his hand, stumble bumble. We edge to the roadside for the nearly imaginary cars, mirages of dust wisps and tire crunch. We pick wildflowers, looping along ledges, edges. We are tiny shoots ourselves, back and forth across the road, connecting delicate colors. The French he's heard all morning, buried in the odd corner of his brain, reserved for animal sounds. We can hear a horse miles away, clearing its throat. The world refuses to be uppercase under the perfect noon sun, the huge blue cloudless parentheses. We are random commas heading home, refusing to subordinate. Our flesh hums through each other's fingers. We don't worry about French words for this or that, or English words, or words in general. And this poem for my daughter is, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of us recognize when we have children is that it's a sign of our own mortality in some way. It's called hammering. This morning after breakfast, my daughter asked to borrow a hammer and a voice of a busy carpenter or a wizard in search of a wand. My, what for? Goes vaguely unanswered, my shrug taken as yes. She grabs it from the toolbox, her thin arms yanked down by the weight. She pulls leaves off bushes, and on the stump of our cherry tree, she hammers them on a piece of paper according to a system established by ancient astronomers or insane mathematicians. Later, I find the paper on my desk patterned with a lush powdered green. Tomorrow, she may invent the wheel. Today, I gently rub the dust of my bones. Some of you probably remember the real Moore as opposed to the power Moore. Some people refer to it as the push Moore. It's a wonderful thing. And this is called Ode to the Real Moore. When you stop pushing, it stops exactly there, absorbing the grace of cut grass silence. It always starts. It never runs out of gas. It does not shoot your eye out with a rock or glass shard. It runs on dew and pollen and sweat. It has never woken one sleeping person. It is never new and improved. Grass falls gentle onto itself like pages of a favorite book. If the blades need sharpening, a 150-year-old man with a large stone in a damp basement will send up faint sparks, accept no payment. At night, it trims the moon's beard. Thank you.
Community Voices volunteer commentator Brad Stork is an avid outdoorsman, and he makes it a point to visit parks and natural areas all over the Miami Valley, often with his kids. He especially likes hiking at night.
For us humans, one of the best times to hike at night is under a full moon. On a clear night with a full moon, the forest is lit up like the middle of the day. And even though we can see well, nighttime brings about a completely different atmosphere. Every sound at night is amplified, and under a full moon you may see or hear deer, possum, raccoon, or maybe even a fox scurrying through the woods. If you stand still and listen, the night is a perfect time to hear the many activities of all the nocturnal animals hunting and moving through the dark forest. If you are lucky, you may hear an owl calling deep in the woods. Owls are the silent hunters of the night, and unless you hear them calling, you won't even know they're around. Sometimes you can see their shadow moving through the treetops, but it will be without a sound. One common owl in the Miami Valley is the barred owl. It's a relatively large bird named for the brown bars running across its chest. Its call is well known for its "Who cooks for you?" sound. The great horned owl is another common owl in our area. This bird gets its name from the tufted feathers or horns on its head that look like ears but have nothing at all to do with hearing. The great horned owl is the largest owl in the area and can be up to 2 feet tall. Several local parks offer opportunities for us to experience the nocturnal world. Glen Helen in Yellow Springs will hold a full moon hike on November 9th and Five Rivers Metro Parks has a night hike scheduled for November 13th at Inglewood Metro Park. For more information, please go to glenhelen.org or metroparks.org. For WYSO, I'm Brad Stork, and I say we take it outside.
Brad Stork is a Community Voices volunteer commentator from Bellbrook. That's it for this week's edition of WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org. I'm Jerry Kenney. Thanks to all of our guests. Coming up next on WYSO, The Book Nook.